In the 1700s, marriages were about status, not romance. In the 1700s, marriages were primarily about social status and wealth rather than love. People followed societal expectations, and status marriages were the norm. Men often used courtesy manuals, similar to dating guides, to learn how to win over women by making a good impression. However, as the Victorian era approached and writers like Jane Austen emerged, the idea of love in marriage began to change. Though social standing and money still mattered, men shifted from relying on flattery to appealing to women's or their father's sense of practicality, showing that marriage was more about securing a good match than romantic feelings. In the past, dating was largely based on a person's character and wealth, with people clearly knowing what they wanted and could offer. As a result, Lonely Hearts ads started appearing more in newspapers, though the wealthy didn't need them, thanks to the season in London, a period of balls and events from March to June where families sent their daughters to find wealthy husbands. These events were highly formal, with strict codes of conduct, and a small mistake could ruin a young woman's chances. However, by the 1800s, dating began to shift toward romance, partly due to Queen Victoria's public affection for Prince Albert. Around the same time, sending Valentine's Day cards became popular, thanks to affordable paper and printing methods, with the number of cards sent growing from 60,000 in 1836 to 400,000 by 1840. Still, despite the rise of romance, social rules remained, as women of high rank couldn't marry lower-class men, but men could marry women of any class. Cultural changes in the 1800s-1900s freed both women and men. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, the Married Women's Property Act of 1870 allowed women to keep their own property, instead of it automatically becoming their husbands after marriage. While gender roles and romance still prevailed, new freedoms began to emerge. The introduction of the bicycle and the steam train made travel easier, allowing people to connect with potential partners in other towns. Trains and train stations also became places where men and women could spend time together more freely, offering new opportunities for relationships beyond their immediate surroundings. Bicycles helped give women more freedom by allowing them to travel alone, which was a big step in their fight for independence, though it caused some gossip. In 1861, a law was passed that removed the death penalty for certain homosexual acts, though people could still be jailed for them. It took time for the effects of this law to be fully understood, but by the early 1900s, the wealthy started to enjoy a more carefree lifestyle, with Prince Bertie, later King Edward, leading these social changes. The rise of the new women in early 20th century London. Around the same time, ragtime music and new dances from America became popular, especially in dance halls where people, particularly from lower classes, would dress up and socialize. Many wealthy American women, known as buccaneer brides, came to London looking for husbands, attracted by the more open British society and the relaxed American style that British men liked. In this changing time, a new type of woman began to appear, one who was independent, smoked, drove cars, and wore more masculine clothes. These new women also demanded equal rights and education, with suffragettes leading the way by fighting for women's right to vote and equality. World War I boosted female independence, sparking London's party scene. When World War I started in August 1914, 30 women in Folkestone, England, began giving white feathers to men not in military uniforms to shame them for not fighting. This idea quickly spread across the country, with the message that women should stay passive while men protected them. However, as the war went on, things changed. While many young women were initially attracted to men in uniform, most of the men went to the front lines, and women had to take over jobs in farming and factories. This led to women wearing more practical, men-style clothes. Dating also changed, as soldiers and their loved ones sent thousands of letters to each other, with around 20,000 bags of mail being sent daily to soldiers in France. After the war ended, the 1920s brought a time of freedom and change, especially in music and culture. Jazz music from America became very popular in Europe, and dances like Charleston and shimmy were common in London clubs. The word jazz even meant sex in African-American slang. The term flapper, which used to mean prostitute, now referred to young women with short hair and skirts, living a fast life with drinks and drugs. But not everyone lived this way. Many poor people had to take care of family members hurt by the war and saw the rich people's behavior as disrespectful. In the 1930s, cinema boosted dating and women's independence. During wartime and the early 1920s, marriage rates among women fell but rebounded in the 1930s, with the average marriage age dropping to 25 for women and 27 for men. The Great Depression caused poverty and unemployment, making dating difficult and creating tension as unemployed men resented working women. Those who could afford it enjoyed the new dating trend of going to the cinema, with nearly 5,000 cinemas in Britain by 1939, offering films like Gone with the Wind as intimate settings for couples. Efforts to address gender inequality emerged in the 1930s. Marjorie Hillis's 1937 book How to Live Alone and Like It promoted acceptance of single women. Divorce laws progressed to allow reasons beyond adultery for ending a marriage, though divorce remained stigmatized. Magazines like Woman's Own and Woman's Illustrated began publishing articles about sex and relationships, though these were limited to married couples in line with the norms of the time. The World War II wedding boom faced homefront temptations, causing many downfalls. In 1939, Europe entered another war, deeply impacting personal relationships. Casual flings and weekend affairs became common, but so did marriage. In England and Wales, marriages soared from 409,000 in 1938 to 534,000 in 1940. This trend wasn't unique to Britain. After Pearl Harbor in 1941, around 100 Americans married daily, with many under 21. Some new wives of servicemen were nicknamed allotment annies because they received $20 a month from the government. There were also stories of women marrying American airmen, who faced high mortality rates, for the $10,000 widow's benefit. As husbands went to war, couples relied on letters, with millions exchanged weekly by 1944. The arrival of 1.5 million American GIs in Britain in 1943 led to a rise in illegitimate births, from 26,574 in 1940 to 64,743 in 1945. These well-paid, relaxed soldiers, earning much more than British soldiers, became popular with British women. When the GIs left for France in 1944, a quarter of all U.S. Army letters were sent to British addresses, and 20,000 British women planned to marry their American fiancés. However, the mix of rushed marriages and infidelities led to a spike in Britain's divorce rates, from 7,995 in 1939 to over 60,000 in 1947. American culture influenced Britain's socializing and relaxed views on sex. After the war, life in the UK was tough with rationing until the late 1950s and high taxes. Dating wasn't a priority, but American culture influenced new habits. Swing music from artists like Frank Sinatra was popular, but in 1955, rock and roll, led by Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock, took over. New celebrities like James Dean and Marilyn Monroe rose to fame, and the media focused more on gossip and open discussions about sex. A 1955 survey showed that over half of the British population disapproved of premarital sex, especially for women, though attitudes varied by class and age. Sexual behavior and contraception saw changes. 25% of men admitted to visiting prostitutes, and 20% of women admitted to affairs. Contraception became available to unmarried couples, showing societal shifts. By 1955, the NHS provided diaphragms and condoms, and American dating trends began spreading to Britain. The 1960s had more sexual freedom, but it wasn't for everyone. In 1967, the Sexual Offences Act legalized homosexual acts in private between consenting adults in England and Wales. This era of peace and love included famous interracial couples like John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and Michael and Shakira Kane. An economic boom meant more disposable income, with young people spending on trends and forming identities around musical cultures like the Mods, stylish scooter-riding youths in London. Women's sexual freedoms were changing too. Female Mods adopted independence without needing a partner. The free love movement encouraged sex without commitment, and by 1970, around 50 communes in Britain adopted this lifestyle. Married couples explored new sexual experiences, helped by the widespread use of the contraceptive pill. 48% of women under 23 had used it by 1969. Despite this, sex education lagged, with 1 in 5 brides pregnant on their wedding day and about 50,000 illegal abortions occurring annually in the UK. In the 1970s, sexual freedom grew, but personal views still differed. In the 1970s, societal changes were uneven. The Sun had topless models, but many hotels still barred unmarried couples. conservative views persisted alongside the sexual liberation of the 1960s. Magazines like Jackie gave love and fashion advice to teenage girls, while Spare Rib tackled bold topics like sex for people with disabilities. Forum magazine took a scientific look at sex. Glam rock stars like Mark Bolan accepted androgyny, and David Bowie openly discussed his bisexuality in 1972. That year, the UK held its first gay pride march in Hyde Park. Despite some progress, conservatism remained strong, evidenced by the backlash against Dr. Alex Comfort's explicit book The Joy of Sex. Public attitudes towards sex were mixed. A 1974 forum survey showed varied opinions on the right age to lose virginity, and most women married between 1971 and 1975 had premarital sex with their husbands. The 1980s made dating fun, but AIDS overshadowed it. In the 1980s, British dating was fun and cheeky, epitomized by the TV show Blind Date, which began in 1985. This aligned with the decade's consumerism trend, further fueled by MTV's launch in 1981, boosting sales of cosmetics and designer clothes. Women gained more power in love and work, with power dressing becoming iconic, and attitudes towards homosexuality evolved with increasing acceptance. However, the AIDS epidemic significantly impacted sexual attitudes. Despite many women believing love was necessary for sex, the crisis slowed sexual liberation. The first UK AIDS-related death was in 1982, but the government's delayed response, forming an AIDS unit only in 1985 and issuing a press statement in 1986, reflected the era's homophobia. This led to increased attacks on gay men and altered views on casual sex, with 62.5% of women disapproving of one-night stands by the late 1980s. 1990s feminism reshaped women's self-image, and dating grew impersonal. In 1991, the Daily Mail reported emancipatory impotence, noting older women with higher sex drives outpacing their husbands. Third-wave feminism and media like Clueless and Sex and the City encouraged women to demand equality in relationships. Despite this, many women faced confidence issues. A 1991 New Woman magazine poll found 90% of women saw themselves as overweight, and 68% felt hindered by their weight. Bridget Jones, introduced in 1995, embodied this mix of independence and self-doubt. The 1990s also saw dating changes with the rise of the mail-order bride industry after the Soviet Union's collapse in 1991, the invention of speed dating in 1998, and the early impact of the internet with AOL Instant Messenger in 1997, followed by Yahoo Messenger in 1998 and MSN Messenger in 1999. The 2000s brought LGBT rights, sexual freedom in media, and online dating. By the 2000s, dating changed significantly as marriage and motherhood became less important for many women. People openly encouraged their sexualities and preferences, with LGBT communities gaining equality. By 1992, the World Health Organization no longer classified homosexuality as a mental illness. In the UK, the Labour Party lifted the ban on homosexuals in the armed forces in 2000 and lowered the age of consent for homosexual sex to 16. The Civil Partnership Act of 2004 allowed same-sex couples to form legal unions and gay marriage was legalized in 2014. The release of 50 Shades of Grey in 2011, which sold 125 million copies and was translated into 52 languages, led to a surge in sales of erotic accessories, increased attendance at fetish nights, and a spike in searches for submission on Pornhub. Online dating became a major trend with apps like Tinder, launched in 2012, attracting over 50 million users and generating 850 million swipes daily. This shift accelerated the dating process, and couples who meet online are surprisingly less likely to divorce, according to eHarmony. The evolution from formal marriage ads in the 1700s to today's inclusive online dating world highlights the dramatic changes in dating culture. Key points. 1. In the 1700s, marriage was about status and wealth, not love. 2. In the 1800s, dating gradually shifted toward romance but remained bound by social class. 3. Technological advances in the 1900s brought dating freedoms, expanding people's options. 4. World wars led women into the workforce, boosting independence and changing dating norms. 5. By the mid-1900s, American culture and music brought relaxed views on dating and relationships to Britain. 6. The 1960s and 1970s saw growing sexual freedom, but traditional views still influenced many. 7. Online dating in the 2000s made finding love fast and diverse, reflecting changing social values.